now joined in the KETR studios by a pair of Texas singer-songwriters whose collaboration began way, way back at their family home in Houston, because they are two blood brothers who have both studied at Berklee College of Music, and they've put in their dues as session players and supporting musicians for other artists. But a few years ago, they decided, you know what, let's form our own band. And they devoted all their efforts to their music careers, and their latest release is an EP titled Introducing the Powell Brothers. Stopping by Notably Texan today are Taylor and Blake Powell. Gentlemen, it's great to meet you.
Dude, great to meet you, brother.
I've got to say, we've been introduced several times, and that, hands down, was the most recent.
Well, thank you. I do like to be the most recent when I'm doing something now. And I'm thinking, if you guys, if the music thing doesn't work out, you know, maybe a comedy duo, because you guys obviously work really well off of each other, and you just have those personalities, so...
When we got a host like you, it's real easy, brother. The listeners haven't been hanging out with us since we got here, but we're having a great time.
It's true. And that is very true. So you two grew up in a Houston suburb. Is that still where you lay your hats?
Yes, sir. And we're not living in our car most of the time. Right. We go there for laundry.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it Kingwood? Is that the name?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. What was the early musical spark for each of you? I mean, did you grow up kind of being exposed to music by your parents, or how did that happen?
Yeah. I wish it was more like, I don't know, like rock star-y, like grungier. I don't know.
Sure.
But unfortunately, the real life true story is our dad played in a church band on the weekends, and we just wanted to, we want to hang out with dad more.
Of course.
Yeah, I wish it was a more rock store like kind of story, but no, we want to hang out with dad a little more. So we picked up instruments and started kind of playing with him, and it was just kind of, we couldn't have done this intentionally, but even at the church there was a recording studio upstairs that was doing more commercial sounding stuff. And so as soon as we got into it, we were just like overwhelmed with like really cool opportunities. And we just kept, saying, sure, we'll do that.
Okay.
And then I'm just kind of kept, very quickly went from there to, we got poached pretty early on and started working for, other, really all over the place, other churches, and then started going on tours with Christian, and then, very quickly other genres.
Okay.
Maybe just had a blast.
That's interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, once you start, it just kind of tends to snowball. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we had any intention of, other than just kind of for fun on the weekend, And then we just, opportunity after opportunity, and here we are now, I guess.
You probably never could have dreamed way back then when you were picking it up.
No, we definitely couldn't have done it as well. I think had we been intentional about all the opportunities that we lucked into, there's no way it would have happened.
Gotcha. That's the voice of Blake Powell. And are you the older brother, Blake?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm not making any assumptions, but looking at you both look way younger than me, so I can't really tell. But so Blake and Taylor Powell are in studio with me here. They are the Powell brothers.
Appreciate you not assuming our ages.
No, that's rude. You don't do that.
For those of you listening, Blake's the one with the beard, and Taylor is the clean-cut one.
Yes, that's perfect for radio listeners. That helps a lot.
Thank you for calling this stubble a beard. I'm honored.
That is really, yeah. That's really taken a step.
Matt
to call
is
that
the beardiest
beard.
Of the room. Yeah,
I will take that title right now.
No, you've earned it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So you are both talented players on a variety of instruments. Tell me about your musical implements of choice, Taylor. How about you? What all do you play?
Well, my first instrument was drums, and that's what I ended up going to school for, and that was my job. From middle school through high school through college, and then dropped out real quick, moved to Austin, and then got the opportunity to join a country band as a bass player.
Okay.
And that was
still in the rhythm section.
Well, another one of those things, like when the opportunity comes to Colin, you say yes and you figure it out afterwards.
Yes,
I said yes, and I had about 2 weeks to learn how to play. And then I was just
playing bass, singing background, we were busy.
Yeah. And a successful band. I mean, they were a really good band. And so after that, I played everything from guitar to piano. I was always writing songs the whole way through. And that's, whenever we got to the end of playing for a bunch of bands, and we were both songwriters. So we were like, let's give it a go.
Sure. Well, at that point, you'd basically gotten the education practically and in other ways. So that's awesome. What all do you play, Blake?
Man, guitar is my main thing. I went to school to study audio engineering, but I think I've toured on guitar, mando, keyboards, pedal steel, probably some other stuff, playing bass. But yeah, I think Taylor and I, we play most of the instruments you'd see on stage we play, other than neither of us play fiddle.
Okay.
And then I would say the exceptions are Taylor's a really good drummer, and I'm a bad pedal steel player. But other than that, we play all the same instruments.
All right, gotcha. It is always amusing to me to hear you talented musicians kind of humbly speak about instruments that you play, and you're like, oh yeah, I sort of play these 20 instruments, and I'm over here going, look, I was never able to pick up anything. I could just kind of barely play by ear on a piano when I was young. So the talent that you have, you might not really take it for granted, I think.
The key is, whenever you're talking about playing multiple instruments, is to be in a situation where you can't prove it.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, I can tell you I'm really good at a lot of stuff, but I only have guitars here. So,
right.
As long as I can avoid ever having to prove it, I'm actually a really good fiddle player.
I see what you did there. Okay. Very cool. Well, is it true that the Powell Brothers project almost never happened because you two kind of had different plans? You were thinking about going off in different directions at some point.
That's it. Taylor's going to take a staff gig doing music in Texas. I was going to move to Nashville and see, you know, how far I could move up the hired gun chain kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe go to the studio market. You know, it's kind of going there with every option kind of open. But yeah, I think it was just kind of for fun. Our uncle's like, it's kind of funny because he seems like he'd be square because he's a banker for a living.
Okay.
But he's also like just a killer bluegrass picker. Like every bluegrass instrument, he's somehow really good at it.
Wow.
I don't get it. But he had some really cool like vintage Martins, and like we wanted an excuse to borrow them. So
okay.
We were like, hey, let's go cut this like live acoustic record. It was us too, and then our buddy Nigel Fry played upright bass, and little Haley Cole came and sang some backgrounds
little
with us.
Little Haley Cole.
Yeah, but I mean, it was kind of just more, you know, we had some time off before we were moving. It was like, let's just go cut five tunes. We kind of written most of the songs over like Thanksgiving break with our chilling at our uncle's backyard.
Okay.
That was, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, any family gathering usually ended with Taylor, myself, and our dad and our uncle playing like bluegrass or gypsy jazz tunes.
Okay.
Until like wives started making people leave.
Gotcha. That's awesome. So song swaps and the like were kind of a regular thing then, or at least jam sessions.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
just sitting down picking up whatever they can play and having a good old time.
Yeah,
picking in the grinning.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's fascinating.
Everybody's got their own excuse to keep drinking at a family party, and ours was music.
There you go. There's, if you were looking for a new excuse for your next family gathering, bring a banjo.
I don't know about that. They might not.
Maybe not a banjo. Taylor and Blake are the Powell Brothers, and they're my guests on KETR. So if you're doing your, as they call it, the elevator pitch, you're stuck in an elevator or in an elevator with someone who hasn't ever heard your music, what's the best way to describe the band's sound to someone new to the Powell Brothers?
We sing songs.
But no, I mean, like, what I always love telling people is, and part of this actually came true, which makes this funnier to me, but I always tell people, like, you know, what we're going for is, like, if Tom Petty had Vince Gill singing lead, but they were an Eagles cover band.
Nice.
And so I got it wrong because Vince Gill joined the Eagles and not Tom Petty, but still.
I understand what you're going for in that statement.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty accurate description, I think.
And like, I don't know, musically we're fairly ADD, and like there's so much stuff we love doing. So we try to keep it somewhat focused, so it's not just like absolutely crazy, but
right, you guys have some very eclectic musical tastes, I've learned just from talking off mic here with you.
Yeah.
That you're not just into country and western there, you're into other styles of music than those two.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of the, you know, there's really, if we're going back to the Blues Brothers, there's really only two types of music,
exactly.
Country and western.
Right.
But, you know, all the other subgenres off of country and western, such as, you know, rock and roll and jazz and bluegrass and hip-hop.
Right.
Like, no, I mean, there's so much, you know, I think there's music that we love doing and performing live, but, like, there's just so much great music everywhere that it's hard to...
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy who hosts a eclectic program here.
We're absolutely.
Literally playing everything, so I respect that fully when artists are not just kind of pigeonholing themselves into, oh, we only listen to music like we make. You guys are all over the board with some of the stuff that you're into, which is interesting, and I think that shows in the styles of music that you make as well. So, I mean, you're not necessarily going to hear, you know, rap worked into the Powell Brothers recordings, but that doesn't mean that you guys wouldn't listen to it on the road or something.
Yeah, you know, that's not something we're going to do anytime soon, but like even when Taylor and I were young, like our high school band was like a 15-piece, like big band jazz band.
Okay.
And we did at one point have, I've always loved kind of the idea of like hip-hop with, like a Motown band. And there's not a lot of people doing it. The Roots, every once in a while, do really cool versions of that stuff. And Bruno Mars even kind of definitely hits that sometimes. And I imagine before we get a chance to like be in a place where we can go find the people to be able to do a really cool project of that.
Yes.
Because that's, I feel like it's more we could help produce and like we'd want to play in the band, but we would need other people with a better, more specific skill set to really do that the way we would want to.
I got you. So maybe something down the road.
We can't afford it. Yeah. And it doesn't really make sense for what we're doing right now. But like, would we do it at some point? Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can't rule that out sometime in the future. So I understand that internally, the Powell Brothers, you guys really put a heavy emphasis on writing good songs and trying to associate with good people. Talk about that. I mean, I think that's kind of what everybody's trying to do is associate with good people. But I mean, the songwriting is something that's really integral to you guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of, for me, Terry probably touched on it too, but I was kind of just frustrated with music at one point. I didn't really know what to do. And one of my buddies, who's just killer producer out in Austin, I just meet him for lunch one day. And this is totally just like random. And he just like kind of out of nowhere just says, Blake, if there's everything, you know, like going wrong, like all you need to do is surround yourself with good people who love what they do every day. And if you can do that, you're never going to like, you know, be disappointed.
Yeah, that's good.
And so
advice.
I mean, that was, he said that to me and I was like, it was kind of goofy, but I was like, okay, that like that's what we're going to do now. And so that's what's so much, you know, fun, getting to just go hang out with great people who love music. I mean, and definitely, somehow we're in a position where we get to pretty much do that every day.
And
we love the heck out of it.
You guys definitely draw the ire of a lot of music fans that you get to do that for a living, you know, because so many people would love to do what you're doing. So last year really kind of turned out to be a big one for the Powell Brothers. You guys, from what I saw, were tapped to share stages at some pretty large festivals with some big names. That had to be an honor.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, I mean, it was amazing. Yeah, last year we convinced a guy named Chad Toller to join our company, and we've been having a ton of fun since then.
Yeah, he has a way with people, and he has a way of sneaking us into situations which we might not should be in yet, you know, as a young upcoming band.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he's just, you know, absolute, like, we met him with another band. He's just absolute phenomenal person, just totally the way we see business and the way we want to treat people, just so lined up. And it was like, we didn't have to really talk about it. It was just like, oh, like you get this.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun. He had a totally different skill set than we had, but the passions and like determinations were all lined up and incredible work ethic. Like we were just so lucky to get to work with him. And so he just really helped amplify, and he just brought it to a whole different level of being able to sell what we do and being able to, cause I mean, it was still like, we were probably more part-time whenever he came on.
Okay.
But no, I mean, as soon as he joined, it was, you know, we've just been having so much fun. And, you know, there's just that constant, you know, we've been in the music profession for 15 years. So it's always that, you know, you get to meet somebody and then, you know, you become friends with them. And like, it's just such a huge cycle of getting to build friendships.
Right.
And so those friendships that were started 15 years ago are just now kind of being like, we're now at a point where we can all work together.
Yeah.
And so it's just really kind of cool seeing all of these like accumulations of friends and contacts and fun times kind of coming together and getting to really just have more fun together.
Yeah. No, and we've gotten to do some really cool things. We got to open for Gary Allen and Mark Chestnut and Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
And I mean, like the list of opportunities that have come together over the past year.
This is really goofy because I was talking with, you know, our superstar, Harvey Birdman, Chad Toller, our manager, Feller. I had this dream of like one day being able to release a CD at Green Hall or Luckenbach.
Okay.
And so when we released our last CD, I just kind of like said it to him, just kind of being like, man, one day we're going to get to do this. And so he calls me like 2 days later and says, okay, so on your CD release day, you're playing at Green Hall right before, who was it?
Ricky Skaggs.
Ricky Skaggs.
Okay.
And then as soon as you're done, you can't stay for Ricky's show though, because you got to load up your car and go to Green Hall and go to Luckenbach and play with Gary P. Nunn.
Oh my gosh.
And so like that was our CD release day, and then like that being incredible already, then like towards the end of the show, Gary P. Nunn like comes up to us and says, "Hey, y'all want to sing London Homesick Blues with me?"
Really?
Which was like, that was one of the songs when we were kids, like, you know, driving around our dad or like uncle's truck.
Sure.
I remember Asleep at the Wheel, and I remember Gary P. Nunn.
Yeah.
And so it was like, man, going from like a little kid in my truck, like my, you know, parents' truck, to like we're on stage singing at like where it was like kind of debuted.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. That's a song that we've done as a band since the Powell Brothers were a thing. Like we've been covering that song since we've been playing in pizza shops.
Yeah.
To playing dance halls, to playing amphitheaters. I mean, dude, we've been singing that song forever. And so for Gary to tap our shoulder on that.
It was just, we were kind of like, it was one of those, you know, pinched me. Are we really getting to do this?
Phenomenal. Living the dream is what you realize at that point, right? I mean, that is incredible.
That was probably one of those moments where it was like, okay, like, this is who cool. made this? How did this happen? Who let this actually go through? Was somebody paid off? Did we pay them enough?
Right. Well, you'll get to the bottom of it with an investigation, I'm sure. So,
absolutely.
So the Powell brothers are my guests here on 88.9 KETR. And, man, the lengths that fearless performers like you guys will take for your craft are often untold. I'm really glad to see you in person and see that you you both came back relatively unscathed from your Evangeline music video shoot in the British Virgin Islands.
Oh, man.
Are you guys okay? I mean,
Oh, man, we had so much fun. And I think what took the most damage, we just thought it would be kind of like funny. Our dad suggested we got a big Powell Brothers flag made.
Okay.
And so we were flying it from the boat, which is a great way. I mean, I don't know how many people are really going sailing in the BVIs, but if you want to pick up Instagram followers, get a flag made that has your Instagram handle on it.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
works really good. And you'll pick up a really interesting international fan base.
An interesting clientele.
Yeah, we ended up just hanging out some of the craziest people because they're like, we would pull up kind of like we're all like mooring near each other and we hear our music being played on another boat. And
really?
We just like look over and they're like, hey, we like the tunes.
Okay. That's nice.
It was funny. No, I mean, that was kind of, and what happened there, we were going to release our very first single, No More. And one of our business advisors jokingly said, for that amount of money, you could rent a 43-foot catamaran, the BVIs, for a week. Okay. And we just like joking, we're like, that's hilarious. Like, no, you can't. We looked it up. We totally could. And so that instead of releasing a radio single.
Okay.
And so we took a good buddy, Paul De La Certa, who's now running around doing all the video for Granger Smith. We took him and a drone and some underwater cameras and stuff. And we're actually, we're releasing another part of that whole video series in an hour and a half. But yeah, for 5 days, we went around and we shot a music video every day and sailed in between and we played a different island bar every night.
That is so cool.
And it was just, I mean, it was cool. We did, to make it financially possible, we had to do it during off season. Known by a lot of people in the area as hurricane season.
Okay.
So we did endure three tropical storms on, you know, a 43-foot catamaran's a good sized boat.
Okay.
But in open water and hurricane waters, it's not, you know, I don't want to quote Jaws here, but we needed a bigger boat.
Yeah, right.
There were some moments where I definitely felt like we needed a bigger boat.
Yikes. Well, I wasn't considering. I was obviously joking about the dangers of being there because, in the videos, it's just all good times.
Aired it because there's just the sheer panic and fear on my face, so I think we left it out of the video. But at one point, I climb up on the mast, and I've got I'm holding a selfie stick, over my head, okay. So it's you're looking straight down at me, and I jump off the mast into the water. And then as soon as I land, I realize I just jumped into a giant patch of every square foot, there's a jellyfish.
Oh, no.
And I bet the shot looks cool, but it's just that's the closest I've been to on camera, legit fear.
Yeah. Wow.
It's am I going to get back in the boat? This is going to hurt.
So there apparently really were some risks that you took during that video shoot in the
also,
British Virgin Islands.
The alcohol tax is much, much lower there than it is here. So, if you go to buy Red Stripe at $20, you're getting a whole lot more there than you get here.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's worth noting.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in the BVI, as these guys call it, then take advantage of that, I suppose. We were just talking about Evangeline. Why don't we spin that track? This has been getting some good radio attention for the Powell brothers, this tune Evangeline. Should we just spin this, or do you want to provide any insight into the tune? It kind of speaks for itself. But
yeah, it's a bit of a goofy story. I mean, it's just this whole thing where Taylor and I were loading into the venue, and then there's usually dead time. You know, this is before we could get hotel rooms and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't afford it. So it's you go play, and then you basically just sit at the bar for 5-6 hours until you're ready to play.
Yes.
And so that's going on, and there's this couple there, and they've been drinking, and they've been married, I think, for quite some time. They're very much in love, but they had very much had too much to drink.
Okay.
And so this guy just, trying to be a good dude, his wife had been, doing all this, meal prepping and, waking up early to go run. And, she was trying to get ready for summer and, really, putting in a ton of work. And so he just wanted to let her know that, he appreciated all of her work and he was proud of her for, sticking to her plan. The problem, though, is he was pretty drunk, and it did not come out in a supportive, congratulatory way.
Oops.
It did not sound good at all. And we knew, because we were there for the whole conversation, so we knew he was trying to say something nice and encouraging, but the way it was taken was not good.
Baby, I didn't mean it. You look fine in those jeans. You lost all that weight, just a little more to go. Why are you so angry? Stop screaming at me. Calm down, you're just putting on a show. Evangeline, don't make me make a scene. Don't tell me you don't love me anymore.
I was looking at your site, and I think the next time you're scheduled to perform near here is probably in like early August. You've got a show in Fort Worth, but your tour dates and such are where? You've got a site, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you go to our website, powellbrothersmusic.com, you will find us. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Brothers Powell. But yeah, we have our dates everywhere. I know we're playing in Commerce December 9th
at
the Drunken Mule.
I didn't look that far ahead.
I know, which is why I thought I would mention it.
Yeah, that's great.
So that we are coming to town. We're going to be around. But yeah, we're playing within the vicinity. You know, relatively soon. We'll be around.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another reason to look forward to the holidays, is that the Powell brothers will be playing here in Commerce.
That's right.
So.
Do love them holidays.
That sounds great right now with all the heat that we got. Getting ahead of ourselves. Also, I was going to point out that the baseball fans should probably be on the lookout for the Powell brothers, because you've been doing some national anthem performances at some MLB games.
I'm a Texas Rangers fan,
so I'm going to I have to give it to you guys. Your Astros are killing it this season.
Hey, man,
so.
As long as somebody in Texas is doing good at sports, we're happy.
I know.
I lived in Boston. I was there when the Texas Rangers were playing the Giants in the World Series, and I was the biggest Rangers fan there. And it killed me, man. It killed me when the Giants I've been a Rangers fan ever since. I love the Astros. They're my hometown team, but I love the Rangers, man.
Well, it's all right. You don't have to pander. No, I'm just telling you.
No, dude, after that series, dude, I'm a huge fan.
What's like, we're pretty, like, we kind of are still, is one of the things, like, we can't believe they said yes to us, you know? And so, like, we're having so much fun getting to go, and we're working on a couple other games, maybe even some other sports.
Nice.
But you know, the season's just kind of getting going for us. We did our first one a couple weeks ago, so unfortunately the Astros didn't win, so we're currently 0-1. As far as our MLB career goes. And so we got a couple more games this season at least.
Yeah, we'll see the Rangers. Hopefully we get to see Odor like hit another guy in the face, because that guy's awesome.
We're seeing at the Rangers-Yankees game.
We'll get to see Judge too. Oh, it's going to be
awesome. We're super excited.
Yeah, nice.
But, you know, we're hoping that we can get, you know, at 0-1, we're hoping we can get our record up a little bit more before the end of the season, or else we're talking about, actually we might do this anyway, but if we end with below 50%, we're probably going to start doing more minor league games.
Okay. They're going to send you down.
Yeah. And then we're going to do some minor league stuff for a little bit and work on our craft and see how we can help our hometown teams.
Yeah. And then we'll call you back up to the bigs when you're ready. You know,
we want to make sure we're helping our team win and not just being allowed to come because they're just nice people.
Well, lucky for you, the Astros can afford at least one and a lot more losses and still be on top. So they're in really good shape right now.
No, man, you can't take the foot off the gas pedal, man. Come on.
If you ain't first, you're last.
All right, you got
me
there.
Wise man once said that.
You got me there. Well, this has really been a treat talking to you guys. You are truly some very energetic and fun gentlemen to talk to. Blake and Taylor Powell are the primary guys behind the Powell brothers, who you never know, they might be cruising into a town near you any day here, and maybe you just discovered them here on KETR. This was really awesome, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hanging out here, but safe travels down the road, and I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Look forward to it, brother. Yeah, thank you so
Come
much.
Come back and see us soon. Oh, I can see the fight in your eyes that you can't. I don't mind.